I want to invite Jerry Cooper up. So come on, welcome Jerry Cooper. So she's going to introduce to you what's called Sozo Ministry, and it's something that's might be new to some of you. Jerry also oversees our Sunday morning Sunday school, so if any of you that want to just grow a little deeper or get some connection, 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings, they meet in a room that's located behind all of that, down the hallways. And again, she's a great part of the ministry team here, part of the healing rooms and some of the things that are going on there. And so this morning, we're just going to give you some time, Jerry. Let us know what's going on and equip us.
Thank you. So I'll try and remember to keep the mic right here because I like to talk with my hands. So forgive me. So Marnie, have we got my slides? So this morning, the leaders have graciously given me a few minutes to talk about Sozo Ministry. And so you're going to say, well, what is Sozo Ministry? I'm really glad you asked that question. But I want to start in the Word. So next slide, Marnie. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, in the Passion Translation. Now may God, Now may the God of peace and harmony set you apart and make you a little bit holy. Completely holy. And may your entire being, spirit, soul, and body be kept completely flawless in the appearing of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. Now, I don't know about you, but it takes a stretch of faith for me to believe completely flawless. But that's what He wants for us. So, what the Lord really impressed upon me this week was, you have no idea how intensely I want relationship with you. It's a little bit like, you ladies, did you ever have a season in your life where you just wanted a baby? I mean, some of us did. I wanted a baby. I even cried at my doctor's office because I wanted a baby. Well, that's just a tiny little shadow picture of how God feels about us. He so intensely wants relationship with us. And He's right there. But the person that's holding it back is us. So what do I do? I'm really glad you asked that. So I highlighted spirit, soul, and body. So thanks, Marty. You are good. I had been a Christian for years before anybody taught me I am a spirit. I don't have a spirit, I am a spirit. And in John chapter 4, it tells us God is spirit. And whose image am I made in? God's. So if God is spirit, I am spirit. And I'm eternal. Already. Right now. And there are things that are beginning to be shared with us in this time that no one ever knew before now. And science is proving the Word over and over. If I were going to go back and get my degree again, I'd probably get it in quantum physics because it fascinates me. It fascinates me. But that's not where we're going today. Get back on track, Jerry. So I have a soul, and I live in a body. Now my spirit and my soul are eternal. Now thank God this earth suit that I live in is not the one I'm going to have forever. Now, maybe you're in love with yours, but mine needs a little work. Okay. So, when we die, we leave this earth suit here, and my spirit and my soul go to be with the Lord. Forever. So, next slide. My soul consists of my mind, my will, and my emotions. And I like to add in there imagination and memory. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans, he says, renew your mind. A more modern way to say it would be reprogram it. And who decides if it's going to get reprogrammed or not? We do. Because God will never violate our will. He took a huge, huge chance. I'm not there quite yet, Marnie. And so I decide how far I'm going to go in the kingdom, how free I want to get. God takes a huge chance with us, doesn't he? Because he so wants relationship with us. So my imagination and my memory will always be with me. It's eternal. Okay, next slide, Marnie. Oh, my black dots didn't come through. I don't know what happened. So I'm going to tell you a little story. One of my favorite teachers was teaching and sharing this one day. She's a woman of prayer, and she said, I was praying one day, and I saw the silhouette of a person, and they had these black dots in their head. And they said, she said, oh my, they need prayer. And God said, it's you. So what happens as we are born and live is things happen. Now, how many of you have ever had a perfect life and nothing bad has ever happened? You're lying, son. Just hush. He did have perfect parents, though. Just kidding. So, if you could imagine down there in the back of the head, lots of times that's where our childhood memories are stored. Now, the soul is eternal, and the brain is the bridge to this world and to our body. So thoughts come in, or trauma, or experiences happen. And as a child, it either can be a trauma or a misconception. Because children don't always understand what's going on. So, if you haven't watched that video that Josh talked about last Sunday, watch it. Caroline Leaf is one of my heroes, and she's a gift for this time and this hour because she and her colleagues have proven what the Word has told us to do for years, centuries, and we just did it. We didn't understand. We just did it. It's so important what you think about. It's so important what you meditate on, because guess what? That's where you'll end up going. So who chooses what you think about? We do. And there's an old saying in the South, you can't help if the birds fly over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Right? Have you ever heard that? It's an old Southern term. So we get to decide what we're going to think about. And Carolyn, is it Carolyn or Caroline? I think it's Caroline Leaf. Caroline Leaf. I mean, Paul and I watched that video last night, and I thought, well, shoot, I'll just show her video. But God's on a theme. He wants us whole. He wants us strong. He wants us well. He wants us able to go further than we've ever gone before. And so what we're doing in Sozo Ministry is working with him, because we have an enemy. And what he'll do is, if there's a black spot up there, and in my version of the slide, it had black spots. So I don't know what happens in all the computer world. But imagine a big, old, ugly black spot in two or three places, and some of them are black trees. And our brain was not created for those black trees, but we grow them when we get over into the kingdom of darkness. Now, when you watch the video, Caroline is great, and her husband helps her. Supportive husbands are wonderful. But in the kingdom of darkness is where you get the thoughts, the trauma that grows black trees in your brain. Over in the kingdom of light is where you were created to live, and you were created to love and be loved. That's what we were created for. It's no wonder we have so much mental illness, because we're living in a chaotic world. So what happens is, when you have a trauma or a black spot in your brain, and that'll make sense when you watch that video, there is an evil force that will come along and do their best to get to you. And they will take one of those black spots over here that you got in the kingdom of darkness, and they will hook onto it. And they will jerk you around because of what's been planted in you in the kingdom of darkness. Guess what? We're at war. Did you know that? Now, what happens if you don't know you're at war? But we are at war. When you were born again, you were marked by the enemy of God. And he can't get to God, so who does he go after? Us. Well, in 2 Corinthians, Apostle Paul says, actually, read 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in the Passion Translation. I went, oh, God, you really know what's going on. Imagine that. We can demolish every fantasy, citadels of argumentation that opposes God, and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. So, you can go to the next slide, Marnie. In Sozo Ministry, we partner with Holy Spirit, and you get to have a God encounter. And the word sozo is a Greek word. It's used over 100 times in the New Testament. Its meanings are to make well, heal, to restore to health, to keep safe, and to deliver. Now, I don't want to weird anybody out, but we have demons running around that want to take you captive. Now, they're no big deal unless you don't know how to handle it, okay? So, I cannot tell you how many times I tell people that thing that you hear and that thing that's oppressing you is about this big with a megaphone. Who's the greater one? And where is he? Remember when Chuck Perry was here and he said, he's right here. And he is. So, if you want to get up every morning and say, you're right here. You're right here. So the powerful one in the room is you. So, next slide. Our goal in Sozo Ministry is for you to be the best version of you. I get excited when by the Spirit I get to see you. It's fun. Now, you may not think that's who you are, and you may not be there yet, but every once in a while, God gives me a little glimpse of who you really are. And then I get all excited. So that's our goal in Sozo Ministry, for you to be the best version of who you are. I didn't check the clock when I started. Sorry about that. I'll read you a little tiny story about the gal who started Sozo Ministry. She said, years ago, a friend of mine in her 60s came in for Sozo, and she'd already experienced breakthrough. But she had this one little thing she couldn't figure out. Every time she went into a crowd or in a group of people, she always felt unwanted. Now, you may have some little thing like that. And most of the time, we just cover it up and go on. But there comes a time when Holy Spirit says, work on that. Have you ever had that? Where you've had something in your life for years, and then Holy Spirit says, time to work on that. Well, so she came into the Sozo session, And so Donna and this lady, they asked the Holy Spirit to show her, the lady, where she first learned this lie. Was it a lie that she's unwanted? Because people would tell her, "We're so glad you're here. We're so glad you're here." And she couldn't believe them. She couldn't believe them. Because, and you don't need to put it back up, she had a black spot in her head that was blocking things. That she couldn't believe that people really wanted her there. Well, Holy Spirit showed her during the Sozo session that that was a lie. You believed a lie that you didn't want, you weren't wanted. And Holy Spirit took her back into a memory when she was 3 years old. 3 years old. And she came happily bouncing in the room, and there's all kinds of adults laughing, and they saw her and they all shut up. And she thought, "They don't want me. Now this is 3 years old. They don't want me." So she carried that till she was in her 60s. And so during the Sozo session, Holy Spirit said, "You believed a lie." Lies are powerful. Who's the father of lies? Yes. And so who had access then? The father of lies. So then in the Sozo session, Jesus showed up. And he said, "Well, let me show you what really happened." So he took her by the hand. And yes, we have a wonderful imagination and it can work for you. He took her by the hand and he said, "Do you know what they were doing? They were planning your birthday party the next day." And that woman, she laughed. I can always tell when people got free, because joy comes. Joy comes. And so that's just a little example of how when you handle a lie that got planted, you don't even really remember when, but you know the effects of it, you can get free in a few minutes. To me, that's a miracle. To me, that's a miracle. So what does Sozo ministry look like? Next slide, Marnie. There we go. We have a prayer team that's been trained, and an individual that wants to can come meet with some of our team, and they have been trained. We've been training for 6 months or so. No, maybe that just seems like 6 months. Anyway, Tiffany's on our team. Della's on our team. Tony's not here. She's on our team. Heather's on our team. We have a couple guys from Healing Rooms that are amazing. I like men to meet with men. I like women to meet with women. And every session is based on the needs of the individual, usually lasts about an hour and a half. Special emphasis is given to establishing or strengthening connection to Father God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus. Now, I can tell you, oh my goodness, how many people who say they're well connected, but there's a wall between one or all three, and they are saved. If they die, they'll go to heaven, but they don't have the relationship that God really wants for them. Same with me. I don't know what I don't know, but in the family, somebody will know how to get me there, okay? So where are we at? We find the access points that the enemy may have to our life or areas of torment that are ministered to. Now, when we come to church on Sunday morning, we're all nice, and we don't tell each other we've been being tormented all week, usually. But I want that to change, or at least for you to feel safe, that we can share with each other, "I need some help." Okay? So this is a helps ministry. And I tell you what, Holy Spirit always shows up. And I love, love what he does. I just get to be there and watch what he does. And sometimes I might guide or ask a few questions. But this week we did a fun one. And when Jesus showed up, he gave that person something. And she just giggled. Just giggled. And we all did. And we had a good ha-ha. And he took care of it just like that. Whatever the issue is, don't share anything. In fact, I rip up my notes afterwards, and I can't hardly remember what we talked about. It's Holy Ghost amnesia. So don't worry that I know stuff about you. I don't. I don't think about it. So, anything else, Lord? I know I took more than 10, but I want to share my heart with you. I do not have it all together, but I'm growing and I'm processing. And we have a team of people that really want to get in and help you. If you don't need us, that's great. No worries. I brought something to remind me. I said, show green book. There went somebody's pen. There is a book. I didn't put it up there. It's called Sozo, Saved, Healed, Delivered. A Journey into Freedom with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's written by the people that started the Sozo ministry. Holy Spirit wants people set free. Because he's the last, say, 25 years, there's all kinds of ministries that have been raised up to get people free. Sozo ministry is only one of them. There's lots of different ones. Four Squares Cleansing Streams. Paul and I have been through that. Elijah House, and I can't remember the other one. I've been about through three or four. God wants us free, and he wants relationship. And I put this here so I would remember to say, like Josh had to help himself remember, if there's a group of people that would like to go through this together, it gives you the tools to get free. And we can do it this summer. We can do it next fall. We will not do it until the other power groups are through. And if nobody wants to, that's fine. I get more free time. No. So, next slide, Marnie. We have requests for ministry forms in the church office or from the healing room staff on Saturdays. You can ask me. You can ask Tiffany or Della or Heather or Tony when she's here. If you've got questions. But all I ask is that you ask the Holy Spirit and don't tell somebody else they need one. Okay? But we're here for you. Okay? And I can't think of anything else. So bless you guys, and I apologize. I think I took more than 10 minutes because I forgot to look at the clock. Bless you.
Thank you. Oh, Jacqueline, Sozo Ministry starting. You might want to, sign up. That's what she said to do, right? Jacqueline would be my wife, for those of you who don't know. Thank you, Jerry. So, again, there's just these last few months, we've introduced a lot of things. There's things happening around here. We're growing. We're excited. We're going to take a little bit more time and just set our hearts right for communion. And so would you welcome Pastor Mike this morning as he comes on up? He had a birthday yesterday, and so I don't think there's anything wrong with acknowledging that. You don't have to tell us how old you are.
I'm 60.
60 years old. That's awesome. Or 60 years young. Is that how you say it?
I don't know anymore.
60 years young. And so, Lord, we thank you for Mike and Debbie, and we bless them in the name of Jesus, and we give you the glory and praise. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. Who has a communion cup? Do you guys have your communion cup yet? If you haven't, there's some all around you. Why don't you grab it real quick? Hey, love having the family together. I want to do this real quick because I learned something this week that I want to share with you guys about communion. And I have been receiving communion since I was a lad. And I follow a guy named Marty Solomon. He is a Jewish believer in Jesus Christ. And he's talking about communion in the kingdom of God. And he shared something I had never thought of. And I thought it was very appropriate for what we're trying to create here. And so in Luke 22, Jesus is having his last dinner with his disciples. And he says two things. I won't eat of this again until I enter the kingdom. And then he takes a cup of wine, and for the AG, it's grape juice, but for them, it was wine. They would pass it around. He says, distribute this among yourself. And he says, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine again until I do it in my kingdom. And I paused and I listened as Marty was talking about this, and he said, here's the story behind what Jesus is doing. He said, when a young man and young woman were about to get married, the families would get together and they would agree for their young man and the young woman to get together. And then after the agreement, the husband-to-be and the wife-to-be, they would take a cup of wine and they go into this room. Hi, sweetheart. She's fine. She's okay. She is. She's adorable. Don't worry. I've got grandkids. I am in my element right now. All the noise, it's like, this is what my house is like. Hi, how are you? Oh my God, isn't she adorable? Can you say hi? Oh my gosh, you're awesome. Sorry, I got to get back to it. I just love this. I just love her, yeah. And the groom would say to his bride-to-be, he would give her a cup of wine and they would drink it together. And the groom would say to his bride-to-be, I will not drink of this cup again until our wedding day. And then the groom and his dad would go back to the groom, to the dad's home, and he would build a room on his dad. They would live in family units. And he would build a room on his dad's house, however long it took. And remember what Jesus said in the same context. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. What's he talking about? He's using language of a bride and a bridegroom. And he said, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you that we might be together where I am. So the night in which Jesus is betrayed, he is not just talking about a meal. He's talking about a relationship between a man and a woman. Now, don't weird out with that language, because I'm a son of God and I'm the bride of Christ. So what Jesus is telling his disciples in a very real way at the communion, he is saying this, and if you can, just look real quick. He says, will you marry me? Will you marry me? Yes, you will. I know you, and no Tic Tacs for you. Look at that. I got Tic Tacs. Anyways, we have a little game. So in this thing, Jesus is inviting his disciples into a family relationship. And what the disciples do right after this invitation is they fight over who's going to be number one. Who's going to be the greatest? Look at the contrast. Will you be my family? And they're saying, yeah, but who's going to be first in the family? And Jesus tells his disciples this. He said, listen, in the government of our world, they have people who are over everybody else. In fact, he uses this word. They love to use this word benefactor. And what this word in Luke 22 means is friend of the little people. That people who are in charge want to be friend of the little people. And Jesus is trying to tell us this. There is no little people or great people in my kingdom. In my kingdom, we are all family. And just like when my kids were young, I didn't expect my kids to go to work to provide for me. I provided for my family, but they were still my family. It didn't make me greater. It was just other responsibilities. And so Jesus promises us this. Here's the invitation. I'm not going to drink of this cup again until I come back in my kingdom. But until that happens, do this in remembrance of me. So dear ones, can I just, I'm almost done, promise I am. Here's what's going on. Here's how I receive communion often. I would take the bread and I would say, oh Lord, thank you for your healing. I'd take the cup and I say, thank you for your forgiveness. What did I do since the last time I could? Okay, forgive me. Instead of this, when I take the communion with you, what I'm saying to you is this, I'm all in with you as my family. I've made a commitment to you. And when I take the commitment in front of you, I am all in with how Jesus tells me how to live as family. And I have to learn how to do that. Because I'm perfect, and I think you've got issues. But besides that, Nancy Layton, you stop laughing right now, sister. They've known us for a long time. I am committed. So when I take the communion, when we take the communion today, I want us to have our eyes up and I want us to look around and I want to say, I'm committed to you as my family. And I'm committed to you as my family. That what Jesus paid for, the forgiveness of sin, has made us into a family. And we are doing this in remembrance until one day he will return and we'll all be together with him as family. And he's been preparing a place for 2,000 years. It's going to be a great place to go to. But until then, I remember what he did, the shedding of his blood, that we might be family. So I'm going to predict your future right now. Are you ready? Are you ready? For all of those who have said yes to Jesus, I want to predict your future because it's not me, it's the Bible. Could you show Revelation 19, verse 6? I want us to read verse 7 together out loud. But John has given us a picture in Revelation of what Jesus is talking about when he says, I won't eat of this again until we come into my kingdom. Revelation 19 shows us this. And guess what? If you're in Christ, this is what you and I are going to be doing one day. Someone say yeah to that. Can we go back to verse 6? Do you have verse 6? So John uses this word like because it's so amazing. He can't fully describe it. So it has to be like something. Okay. So I heard this, what sounded like a great multitude. That's like going to a 49ers game and listening to all the shouts. Sorry, Seattle Seahawks and shout of a stadium. It is like something. Okay. And then he says, it's like the roar of a rushing waters. Hi guys. It's like waterfall that's coming down. And he says, it's like loud peals of thunder shouting. And here is what we are going to be doing one day with billions of people. That is the fulfillment of what Jesus said. Until this day happens, I'm not going to drink of the wine. I'm not going to have this supper. Here's the marriage we're going to have. Oh, they're okay. They're okay. I think you're awesome. Hi. Can everybody say hi to my new friend? Hi. You, that's your mama? Oh, go get her. Hi, what's your name?
Terry
Jo. Hi, Terry. How are you? And who's this? Hi. Oh, this is yours, Shelly. Is this your granddaughter? Hi. Don't run into the chair. I'm sorry, guys. Sorry. I love kids. They're great. Would you stand with me? And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. It says they were shouting. So is it, can you go back one little verse, the first word? There it is. They were shouting this. So you might not feel like shouting, and I'm not because I have a microphone, but could you lift your voice a little bit higher than hallelujah? Okay. You and I one day are going to be standing shoulder to shoulder with Jesus Christ, with billions of people from all the ages, different tribes, tongues, languages. And this is the fulfillment of what Jesus said. Until I have this supper, I'm not going to eat or drink of this. But until then, hey, let's be ready for my return. Let's be family. Let's live together. Let's understand each other. And so we're going to do this together because here's one day you and I are going to be doing this together. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah! For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Keep going. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Keep going. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. One more verse. Here we go. Then the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. Dear family, if you have not yet come to a place of saying yes to Jesus, you have today been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Today, you can say yes. Today, you can say, Jesus is saying, hey, will you be mine? Won't you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Sorry, wrong one. Jesus is saying, Mr. Rogers got it right. Jesus is saying, listen, I love you so much that I want you to every once in a while, we do it here once a month, receive the communion to remember what I did to make you my family. So you're my son, you're my daughter, you're my brother, you're my sister. Even the little one I was holding, even if you're a child, if you know Jesus Christ, you're my sister, you're my brother, but just different responsibilities. Yes. So grab your communion. Oh, Mama, I don't want to interrupt. I've learned that. Mama, you do Mama. Will you take your cup? And I want us to do something different this morning. Instead of going, oh Lord, what did I do that I need to be forgiven of? He forgives all of our sins. He heals all of our diseases. Yes and amen. But I want us to receive the communion with this thought in mind. I'm committed to his family. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior as of yet, if you've not come to that place, man, he gave his life for you. Guess what? You can receive the communion as your declaration saying, I'm part of the family. I'm part, and I'm going to learn how to do this together. So would you take the bread? He said, I will not eat of this meal again until the kingdom of God comes. And would you look around at two or three people and would you just say, I'm committed to you. Like Jesus is committed to me. Would you tell him that? Would you tell him that? And then I want you to take the bread in celebration. I want you to take it with a hallelujah celebration that Jesus Christ has made his family. Would you do it right now? Take the bread. Remember we used to pass crackers around to each other? In these little bowls, and you know, the kids would stick their stinky little hands in it, and we'd say, that's okay, give me another cracker. Remember, how do we survive to this? But we have. And Jesus took the cup, and he goes, this is how you're going to be my family. I'm giving my life for you. I'm shedding my blood for you. That you will never be alone again. Never alone by yourself because I've got a family all over the world. And he says, remember that. Remember that. And he took the cup and he blessed it. And we're going to remember. And would you tell somebody around you, I remember what Jesus did, that you're my family. Would you do that real quick? Tell somebody. Oh, you okay? You okay, sweetheart?
Yes.
Here's your cup. Come on, grab your cup. It's okay. Come on, you're okay. Stand up. There you go, darling. We can clean that up. That's no big deal. She wants to be on the platform. Put an instrument in that young girl's hand. Would you take the cup? Eyes wide open, would you take it saying, I'm committed to the family. Now, I am so grateful for this teaching because I would have this kind of a somber, oh, the communion, I'm bad, I'm wrong. It's not. It's forgiveness. It's freedom. It's yes, he's forgiven me all my sins. And I think what we need to do with communion a little bit more, we need to celebrate. We need to celebrate that we're family. We need to celebrate we're learning how to do this. We need to celebrate that Jesus Christ loves us without condition. And so if you could put your cups down somewhere, and can we just give him a standing ovation and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Yeah. Hebrews 4 says, God is not ashamed to call us family. And I am so glad you are my family. And I'm glad we get a chance to do life together. So we're going to take 1 minute and 30 seconds, and I want you to high-five as many people as you can and say, you're my family. God bless you. God loves you. God is for you. He's not against you. Just love on somebody, would you? And God bless you today. Thank you for being here today.